Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, and today we're taking a look at the minor prophets of the Old Testament and asking God to speak to us through His Word. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to day 12 of the minor prophets as we continue our study of Hosea. Today's title, A Bitter Harvest. Robert Louis Stevenson once wrote, "Sooner or later, everyone sits down to a banquet of consequences." Our text today is from Hosea chapters 9 and 10. "Rejoice not, O Israel, exult not like the peoples, for you have played the whore, forsaking your God. You have loved a prostitute's wages on all threshing floors. Threshing floor and wine vat shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail them. They shall not remain in the land of the Lord, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean food in Assyria. They shall not pour drink offerings of wine to the Lord, and their sacrifices shall not please Him. It shall be like mourner's bread to them. All who eat of it shall be defiled, for their bread shall be for their hunger only. It shall not come to the house of the Lord. What will you do on the day of the appointed festival and on the day of the feast of the Lord? For behold, they are going away from destruction, but Egypt shall gather them. Memphis shall bury them. Nettles shall possess their precious things of silver. Thorns shall be in their tents. The days of punishment have come. The days of recompense have come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The man of spirit is mad because of your great iniquity and great hatred. The prophet is the watchman of Ephraim with my God, yet a fowler snare is on all his ways, and hatred in the house of his God. They have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins. Like grapes in the wilderness, I found Israel. Like the first fruit on the fig tree in its first season, I saw your fathers. But they came to Baal Peor and consecrated themselves to the thing of shame and became detestable like the thing they loved. Ephraim's glory shall fly away like a bird. No birth, no pregnancy, no conception. Even if they bring up children, I will bereave them till none is left. Woe to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I have seen, was like a young palm planted in a meadow, but Ephraim must lead his children out to slaughter. Give them, O Lord, what will you give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. Every evil of theirs is in Gilgal. There I began to hate them. Because of the wickedness of their deeds, I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are rebels. Ephraim is stricken. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Even though they give birth, I will put their beloved children to death. My God will reject them because they have not listened to Him. They shall be wanderers among the nations." Israel is a luxuriant vine that yields its fruit. The more his fruit increased, the more altars he built. As his country improved, he improved his pillars. Their heart is false. Now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will break down their altars and destroy their pillars. For now they will say, "We have no king, for we do not fear the Lord. And a king, what could he do for us?" They utter mere words. With empty oaths, they make covenants. So judgment springs up like poisonous weeds in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria tremble for the calf of Beth-Aven. Its people mourn for it, and so do its idolatrous priests, those who rejoiced over it and over its glory, for it has departed from them. The thing itself shall be carried to Assyria as tribute to the great king. Ephraim shall be put to shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his idol. Samaria's king shall perish like a twig on the face of the waters. the high places of Avon, the sin of Israel shall be destroyed. Thorn and thistle shall grow up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. From the days of Gibeah, you have sinned, O Israel. There they have continued. Shall not the war against the unjust overtake them in Gibeah? When I please, I will discipline them, and nations shall be gathered against them when they are bound up for their double iniquity. Ephraim was a trained calf that loved to thresh, and I spared her fair neck. But I will put Ephraim to the yoke. Judah must plow. Jacob must harrow for himself. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground. For it is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. You have plowed iniquity. You have reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies. Because you have trusted in your own way and in the multitude of your warriors, therefore the tumult of war shall arise among your people, and all your fortresses shall be destroyed. As Shalmon destroyed Beth Arbel on the day of battle, mothers were dashed in pieces with their children. Thus it shall be done to you, O Bethel, because of your great evil. At dawn, the king of Israel shall be utterly cut off. God planted his people in an incredible land, but they sowed seeds in that land of idolatry. The more God blessed them, the more they turned away from him. The consequences would be a bitter harvest for them and their descendants. Twice in chapter 9, Hosea announces they shall return to Egypt. Later, Hosea 11:5 clarifies that Egypt is an illustration of Assyrian bondage. Hosea utilizes the bondage that Egypt imposed before the Exodus to describe how Israel is now in bondage again. The first time, they were in bondage to slavery. Now, they are in bondage because of their sins. Because of their disobedience and rebellion against God, they will soon face bondage as slaves to the new Egypt, Assyria. Israel ignored God's blessings. Two of these forgotten blessings were God's law for guidance and a tabernacle as a place to worship him. They disobeyed God's law, and the priest corrupted God's house of worship. Now that captivity was imminent, Israel tried to protect themselves from Assyria. Rather than repenting and returning to God, they fortified their towns and sought help from foreign nations. This was considered spiritual adultery, as they left God, their first love. Warren Wiersbe describes Israel playing the harlot through Hosea's description of the threshing floors found in Hosea 9 verses 1 through 3. During the harvest season, prostitutes frequented the threshing floors where the men slept to guard the grain. The harvest season was a time of great joy, but there would be no joy in Israel. Hosea chapter 9 verse 10 through chapter 10 verse 10 continues with an agricultural analogy of God's history with the Jews. When God called Israel, he had joy similar to finding a grape in the desert. Early on in Israel's history, they were a blessing to God. But now, Israel is like a tree with no roots. What God planted to spread and be fruitful was now barren. Hosea chapter 10 concludes by comparing Israel to a young cow who loves stomping on grain because she can eat all the time. But when this heifer is yoked to another animal and forced to do hard work, she will finally realize how good she had it before. The Assyrian yoke is approaching, and the days of Israel eating freely from God's blessing are coming to an end. Because of this impending judgment, Hosea finally appeals for Israel to repent and return to God. Wiersbe's commentary provides these closing remarks on Hosea chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. the plow of conviction must first break up hard hearts before the seed of the word can be planted and the gracious rain be sent from heaven. The nation did not repent, and judgment fell. In 722 BC, the Assyrian army invaded the land, and the 10 tribes as a nation vanished from the pages of history. Some questions to consider. How is the analogy of Egypt a picture of Israel's past and future and a reminder not to take God's blessings for granted? In what ways can Christians be prone to repeating mistakes from the past because they don't learn from their sins? And finally, what are your thoughts on the following statement from Warren Wiersbe found in today's devotion? The plow of conviction must first break up hard hearts before the seed of the word can be planted and the gracious rain be sent from heaven. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great day.